is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
All right, welcome to Fantasy Week 15. Time for your semifinals for most of you. And this is your waiver wire show. Last week... All right, I'm not going to make any declarations about whether or not this is a good week or a bad week. I'm not going to change my opinion hours later. But it's not such a great week, is it? I just lied. Already made the declaration. Not such a great week, is it?
No. It's going to be a challenging week. I think there's a lot of very, very interesting matchups coming our way.
Sure. In terms of the waiver wire, are there guys that you're excited about?
No.
We probably need to spend a little bit more time this week on the 60 to 75% group.
Oh, we will, especially the running backs, the Doug Martins of the world, Peyton Barber, probably not. And, Justin Jackson might be still available. He's about 80% owned. So there's that. Hey, Jamie, how's the waiver wire looking?
It's good. Not great.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Elijah McGuire could be pretty interesting this week. That's for sure. So let's get to the top three priorities. If you were going to give just a few names, three-ish, who are they?
Elijah McGuire would be one. Chris Conley would be one. And Dante Pettis would be one.
How about Ian Thomas? A lot of people need tight end help. I know, but he's gotten targets the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the Panthers have a quarterback problem.
All right, we got Elijah McGuire. We got Chris Conley. Dante Pettis, Ian Thomas, Heath, anyone you want to add?
Outside of those guys, I am pretty, pretty excited about Lamar Jackson this week. I like Kenneth Dixon as somebody that I don't need to start this week, but I might want to start in week 16.
All right, that works for me, and we'll break down a lot more names. It's possible, probable, that your quarterback is on your roster. You don't have to go to the waiver wire for a quarterback, but... Yeah, McGuire's got a big opportunity. We'll probably spend a lot of time talking about him. The big news is that Melvin Gordon did not practice, on Monday. And Austin Eckler unlikely to play this week. He's got a neck injury and he's in the concussion protocol. They're playing on Thursday at Kansas City. So just what I think is the obvious, if Justin Jackson is available, he's the number one priority, right?
By far and away.
Yeah.
Yep.
He is 79% owned, and I know he came off a terrible game, but we'd probably like him.
The Kansas City Chiefs this year have faced a lot of running back tandems, but if you look at what they've given up to the running back position, 2,200 total yards, 17 touchdowns in 13 games.
Second most fantasy points to running backs, the most receiving yards per game to running backs. 5.1 yards per carry to running backs. That's what Justin Jackson could be looking at. Do you guys think Melvin Gordon still has a chance to play?
Sure.
Doesn't sound like it.
I mean, he's got to practice in order to get on the field. It doesn't sound great at this point, but
I think he has a chance. I don't expect him. If we were playing the Do You Expect Him game, which is my favorite game that we're doing.
We're going to get ready for it because it's going to happen. Tyreek Hill is expected to play, so we do expect Tyreek Hill to play this week. Baltimore has not announced a starting quarterback yet. So, you know, Heath, you just said you're excited about Lamar Jackson. They got Tampa Bay. And he's had nothing but great matchups in his last four games, Cincinnati, Oakland, at Atlanta, at Kansas City. And he's come through in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues twice, 4 point per passing touchdown leagues. He's been pretty solid in all four games. Do you fear Joe Flacco's role?
That's why I have it the order that I do.
Which is
I have Lamar Jackson ranked ahead of Josh Allen. But I if we get obviously closer to the end of the week, I think you may end up with Lamar Jackson on the bench. Would not be surprised.
It would be so bad.
When Jamie says,
I do fear it a little bit, yes.
When Jamie says ranked the way he does, he has Josh Allen as his top waiver wire quarterback priority and Jackson too. And then Nick Mullins and Derek Carr. Jordan Reed could miss the rest of the season with a toe injury. And Vernon Davis could be someone that people turn to this week. More on that later. All right, it's time for everybody's favorite game, Do You Expect? As we sit here on Tuesday morning, Ben Roethlisberger against New England.
Sure.
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill at Minnesota.
Yes.
Odell Beckham against Tennessee.
Yes.
We don't have him ranked yet, but yes.
James Conner against New England.
Not as of now.
No.
Spencer Ware against the Chargers.
Yes.
He didn't practice on Monday, but I think he still has. He's got a better chance to play than Melvin Gordon.
There's been no indication that he's going to miss again.
LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory against Detroit.
No.
Isaiah Crowell against Houston Saturday.
Not as of now.
No.
Kerryon Johnson at Buffalo.
Like to see him practice.
Yeah, we're thinking no at this point. Matt Breida against Seattle.
No.
I hope not. Stay away. And Austin Hooper against Arizona.
I'm sorry, who?
Austin Hooper against Arizona.
He got banged up late for the Falcons. As of now, I'm not expecting him.
Okie dokie. So I guess let's just kind of get into some of the names. You know how it goes, everybody. We'll give you some names now. We'll go kind of more in depth later on in the show. We will also talk about the... Do we have to talk about the Sunday night game, the Bonanza?
I thought I got a good tweet, and I think you probably saw it too. It was to all of us. The Bonanza was so bad that it messed up Monday Night Football too.
Yes.
I was Carson Wentz short of my Josh Allen prediction.
Goff, Trubisky, and Wentz.
Goff, Trubisky, Wilson, and Cousins, and Wentz.
Oh. Yeah. How about that? And so we'll talk about those two games. I think you know how the Tuesday show works. Sneak peek at the waiver wire. I think I said all the quarterbacks, so I apologize. It's Allen, Jackson, Mullins, and Carr. That's who we're looking at this week.
Yeah, I go Jackson Allen, but there is the risk of Allen not starting. Another name, I'm going to say it.
Say Eli Manning.
No, that's not what I'm going to say.
Who?
I'm going to say Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, my God.
Really?
The Raiders are the worst pass defense in the NFL. It's just that nobody throws against them.
Uh-huh.
You have 8.6 yards per pass attempt.
Uh-huh.
He's not a bad daily play. I don't think anybody's playing him in seasonal leagues, though. I don't think anybody's playing a lot of these guys in seasonal leagues. That's the problem.
There is. Yeah, I know. That's why we probably.
It's mostly two quarterback leagues at this point.
The only one I have ranked in my top 15 is Lamar Jackson.
There's one name that I think should be on the list. Should I say it now or should we wait?
Is it the other guy in that game?
Well, Derek Carr, he's on the list. Carr, we already said him.
Oh, you said Carr already?
Uh-huh. Not that anybody's going to start him.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I don't like him at all.
I think we get a similar game script to last week.
Against the Red Hot Giants?
It's not.
running backs. So other than Elijah McGuire, who's an option this week?
Ito Smith is interesting. Cardinals are terrible against the run. And he's getting more playing time than, or more touches at least, than Tevin Coleman. Playing time is almost identical. You have a lot of the injury replacement guys, but Heath said the other guy, Kenneth Dixon. I think you have to pick up Damien Williams just with the thought of Spencer Ware not playing.
Okay, and I know Marcus Murphy could be in line for a starting gig against the Lions for the Bills.
And the way that Lions game went, Zach Zinner might be a thing.
Oh, for sure.
He got all of his work in the second half. They were tired of LeGarrette Blount plodding away, and now Zach Zinner does have a chance. But it's going to be a committee again. It's right back to being where it was with Kerryon, except now there's no Kerryon, and there's still three guys.
Wide receiver.
I mean, Pettis still is the best one if he's out there. I think you got to pick up Conley just, A, with Watkins being out, and the potential of Tyreek Hill not playing, just in case there's a setback during the week. Curtis Samuel has been fantastic the last month. He should be added across the board. If you want a sneaky play, Isaiah McKenzie, because he may be the backup running back if both McCoy and Ivory are out behind Marcus Murphy.
Yeah, I, you know, my rankings on Tuesday morning when they first come out are solely based on what my little numbers say, and then I go through, and Isaiah McKenzie's ranked way too high for me right
now.
Have 30 at wide receiver.
I had a hard time with wide receiver right at about 30th overall this week. There's just a lot of guys that I don't feel great about.
Well, Jamie mentioned Curtis Samuel. He has 8 or more fantasy points in non-PPR, 11 or more fantasy points in PPR in 5 of his last 6 games. And now he faces the Saints, who do allow the most fantasy points to wide receivers, but they have been better lately. So Pettis, Conley, Samuel, Isaiah McKenzie, interesting names at wide receiver.
I like Kenny Stills.
How can you like Kenny Stills?
I don't think Xavier Rhodes is going to follow him.
But it's not like other wide receivers kill the Vikings, you know? It's not like number 2 wide receivers are so good against
the
Vikings.
They went into the game last night 3rd in terms of touchdowns allowed to the position. They came out of it probably better than that after what happened this week.
And I think about half of the touchdowns they've allowed came at the Rams. That one horrible game they gave up, I think, 4 touchdowns to Rams wide receivers.
They only allowed 9.
So. Yeah, and they gave up 4 in that game, I think.
So there you go.
Okay, tight ends. So is Ian Thomas the cream of the crop?
I had a tough time between him and Firkser.
Really?
If you look at what they've done the last 3 games prior to last week, I'll tell you the numbers in a second. Between Janu and Firkser, the duo, I know obviously Janu's not playing. So 3 weeks prior to that, 23 targets between the two of them, 20 catches, 274 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Firkser has caught all of his targets over the last 4 games.
He has caught all of his targets. He has at least 3 catches in each of his last 4 games.
Thomas in his last 2 games has 14 catches on 16 targets for 120.
Oh, he's the better player, but he has the tougher matchup.
No touchdowns. It's a tough matchup. Cameron Brate just scored twice on them.
On 2 catches.
Yeah, that's
true. So if he doesn't catch the ball in the end zone, then he's a disaster.
Fair point. I think that Thomas is just going to continue to get a lot of targets. Cam's not throwing it deep anymore. That shoulder is a problem. And so checking it down, dinking and dunking, I think that's working out in Thomas's favor, and he's got a high catch rate.
And Firkser is at the Giants, and I don't know. You know, you could look at what the Giants have done against quarterbacks, and this is why I sort of like Mariota. You could look at what the Giants have done against quarterbacks. It's been pretty good this year, but we just don't know what they look like without Landon Collins because last week doesn't count. And that will probably hurt them a little bit against tight ends too. So keep that in mind. All right, and DSTs. By the way, also on today's show, a little bit different on today's show. I do have more talk about running backs that are owned in more leagues and whether or not you'd start them, and then, you know, how important it is to play the waiver wire. Same thing with tight ends, not so much with the wide receivers, but we'll talk about like the Aaron Rodgers owner. Should the Aaron Rodgers owner facing the Bears this week go out and pick up a waiver wire quarterback? I'm going to frame it a little bit differently this week since we're no longer looking at guys for long-term potential. It's all week to week. So anyway, like I said, it'll be a little bit different. How about DST streamers this week? Who do we like, guys?
It might be the worst week of the season for DST streamers.
Yeah, you're going to cringe when you hear these teams, but I think the Lions are the best one. If they're taking on Buffalo without LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory, Josh Allen's going to turn the ball over at least 3 times. And I like them just a nudge ahead of the Redskins going up against Cody Kessler because I think the Redskins will have a hard time with Leonard Fournette. Falcons playing at home against Arizona, pretty good matchup for them.
Okay,
I'd rank them that way. Lions, Redskins, Falcons.
That works for me. And then there are teams that are owned in a lot of leagues, like the Jaguars could randomly be available. I don't know if I've been saying the Titans over and over and over again. I'm not sure I like them. So, you guys like the Titans this week?
If Odell's out, yes.
Yeah, I like the Titans.
The Ravens may have been dropped. They're 85% owned. They get Tampa Bay. Minnesota may have been dropped. They're 88% owned. Again, I mean, it's just randomly these defenses might show up in your league. And do you like the Bills against Detroit? 81% owned.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you even consider...
Better than all 3 that I named.
Would you even consider sitting the Bears DST against the Packers?
No.
I don't.
They're top 7 for me.
Yeah, Rodgers has been bad on the road.
Do we have IDP?
Yes.
Woo!
We've got IDPs ready to go, but there aren't a lot of them this week. And believe it or not, defensive line is the one that I think is the strongest of the group. Denico Autry for Indianapolis has been playing great the last 4 weeks, and he's out there in 92% of leagues. Your boy, Carl Nassib, Adam,
yeah,
has been really good the last 3 weeks. He's out there in a ton of leagues. Miles Jack, we're moving to linebacker now. Miles Jack was dropped in a lot of leagues because he had a big lull in the middle of the season. Still out there in almost 80% of leagues. He's been good the past couple of weeks. And then Marshawn Lattimore, Prince of Mukamara, and Kyle Fuller, two Bears and a Saint, three corners, not safeties, all putting up good numbers over the last couple of weeks. All three of them owned in 15% of fantasy leagues or less.
And I just want to give one name that I can't remember, but I have him on my team. I don't think he did so well last week. His name is, it's hard to pronounce. Foye Oluokun. Oluokun, probably. Foye Oluokun for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a rookie linebacker coming off a bad game, but three games before that, mm-hmm. he was really good. So Foye Oluokun is 5% owned for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm starting to enjoy my IDP a little bit more. IDPs.
That's because you're winning.
No, I'm enjoying the defensive aspect of it, I mean. And defensive back is so interchangeable. Like, the position to really put a premium on is defensive line. Next year,
because there's just not a lot of those.
Oh, guys. They're terrible. Like, Aaron Donald, I know he had a bad game, but that man is so valuable in IDP leagues. IMO in IDP. Mm-hmm. Kickers, real quick. Kickers? Nobody? Okay, Matt Bryant, Dan Bailey, Brandon McManus.
It's not a great group.
Yeah, but keep in mind, I think it's a good week to look for like indoor kickers. Matt Bryant being one of them. Brett Maher, doesn't he miss a lot? I feel like he misses. But weather could be a factor. So, you know, just keep that in mind. I don't think you have to do this with your waiver claims.
I think you go back to McManus at home.
How's fantasy going for you guys? How are the first round of the playoffs?
Mixed. I've got 7 semifinal team left.
Yeah, I have 8.
I've got 8 left as well. 8 out of 15.
That's great. I'm 5 out of 10. I think it's a good year, guys. Good for us. I know Chris Towers keeps bragging about it on Twitter, but he's doing pretty well too.
Cool.
Hooray for CBS. And hooray for Lightstream. Today's sponsor is Lightstream. Lightstream is awesome. Lightstream.com/FFT. Go there right now. Lightstream.com/FFT. You'll see the website. Very easy to use. LightStream.com/FFT. And the holidays are approaching, and you might be thinking about how you're going to save some extra money. It's expensive time of year, that's for sure. I got a way that maybe you haven't thought of. Consolidate your high-interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with Lightstream. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with autopay. And as someone, you know, you miss a credit card payment, you know, you got a little bit of debt or something, like it could be really frustrating. A 6.14% APR rate, that is amazing. The national average credit card interest rate is over 19%. Another thing you can do at Lightstream.com/FFT is get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can get your money as soon as the day you apply. The application is 100% online, and there are no fees. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate. So on top of their already low interest rate, you can get an additional discount at Lightstream.com/FFT. That is Lightstream.com/FFT. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/FFT for more information. News and notes. Actually, I want to look ahead to Week 16 real quick, even though I don't really think you have to. But if you are looking at Week 16, Mariota gets the Redskins. It's basically the same names. If Baker Mayfield's still available, he has the Bengals. Josh Allen's at New England. Derek Carr gets Denver. These are options for you, but I don't think you really have to worry about it right now, unless Mayfield is available. He might light up the Bengals again. DSTs, Tennessee is against Washington. New England against Buffalo. Cleveland against Cincinnati. And Indianapolis against the Giants. That's next week. Tennessee against Washington. New England against Buffalo. Cleveland against Cincinnati. Colts against the Giants. And now your news and notes. Bears cornerback Bryce Callahan left with a foot injury. He's an important player for them, right? Bryce Callahan?
Yes, he's their slot corner, and he's very good.
So they have the Packers coming up. Does that make Randall Cobb more interesting?
A little bit.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham also.
Pierre Garçon out for the season. Josh Doctson's in the concussion protocol. New Orleans could get their left tackle Teron Armstead back this week. That would be very nice. They have a Monday game at Carolina. The Eagles signed Boston Scott off New Orleans practice squad. Is there any fantasy significance to that?
It means that you're probably not going to see Corey Clement.
Leonard Fournette got into a verbal altercation with a fan. I only ask because I wonder if you are at all concerned about a suspension from this.
No.
Did he punch the fan?
He did not. Yeah,
I'll be all right.
Bringing it up. Denver cornerback Isaac Yiadom is expected to miss this week's game with a separated shoulder. So
he stinks, by the way.
Does he?
He's not a good corner at all.
Oh, I thought he was having a decent year.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So not a huge deal, but it is less depth for Denver. Buffalo linebacker Matt Milano out for the year with a broken leg, and that is a big deal. He's a good player for them. They have Detroit coming to town. And all good things must come to an end. A running back did not score a touchdown against the Giants in Week 14, and a wide receiver did not catch a touchdown against the Bucs in Week 14. So we no longer can give that stat of the game. Oakland fired GM Reggie McKenzie. Seattle 21, Minnesota 7. Two injuries for the Vikings late in the game. Defensive lineman Sheldon Richardson limped off the field, and right tackle Brian O'Neill left in the fourth quarter. Other than that, it was a great night for the Vikings. No, it was terrible. What'd you make of this stink fest? Seattle 21, Minnesota 7.
The game went totally the opposite of what I thought. I thought that both quarterbacks would play well. I didn't think Seattle's defense would be quite as good as it was. They were in Kirk Cousins' kitchen all game long. And Russ got hampered, man. Credit to both defenses. They both played really well. I think Wilson bounces back before Cousins does next week, though.
I think they both do.
They don't have to do much to bounce
every,
back.
Every trend that I thought was going to happen held. Everson Griffin playing for the Vikings, opposing quarterback stunk. Kirk Cousins in a big spot. You look at the numbers, terrible. Kirk Cousins on primetime, terrible. Seattle, you said this, Heath, the building still holds a little value, terrible. I mean, everything that you could have expected from this game, at least I expected it, came to fruition. So both guys bounce back in a big, big way based on the matchups that they have. You just saw Russell Wilson tear through San Francisco. He'll do that again. Kirk Cousins against Miami. You saw Tom Brady have a get-right game against him. He's at home against a beatable team that's probably living off the euphoria of the Miami Miracle. He's going to have a great game also. Do not fear those two quarterbacks this week at all.
And I mean, I'll give you credit for the Cousins thing because, like, I did not have any expectations for Russell Wilson, especially without Doug Baldwin. But Seattle's defense played so well last night, and there was absolutely no indication that this was a good defense.
This is all about Cousins. This was not about the defense.
But that's it, because
the defense played a huge
defense
role.
Played great.
Yeah,
but this is great. All on him. He does not play well in these spots.
Well, he did 3 weeks ago, though. But he did against Green Bay. He had 342 and 3 touchdowns in Week 12 against Green Bay. Wasn't that a Sunday night game?
He went on his leg and missed open Thielen and open Diggs repeatedly because of pressure.
Thielen was pissed?
I will say Seattle's defense and crowd, I do think, had a lot to do with it.
Yes, and Bobby Wagner cheating as well.
Bobby Wagner cheating?
That was cheating.
Kudos to him.
Well, Frank Clark was awesome.
Frank Clark was awesome.
Now, you say kudos to him. I think that's a 15-yard penalty, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, kudos to him for getting away with it.
I guess, but that would have given them a first down.
There was a positive for a Viking in this game, I thought.
Yes, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, right. He may be a star of the week this week. I love the setup for him.
And not Doug Martin?
Not Doug Martin.
Been really pushing for Doug Martin.
Two starts of the week.
Yeah, he dominated
touches. I will say, forget about the touchdown. The touchdown was good, but it was garbage time. He got almost all the carries. He looked good. He was heavily involved in the passing game.
You know where they didn't use him enough? Short yardage. They gave Latavius Murray the carry. He went sideways through the line, got hammered, and they didn't get the first down there. And every short yardage opportunity they had, they weren't giving him work. It was stupid.
Okay, so just on that, they had first and goal from the 4. They handed off to Latavius Murray. After that, Cook was in the game, and Cook did get stuffed, right? He got stuffed on 3rd and goal from the 2. And then they went for it on 4th and goal. But that is important note, Jamie, because he is not guaranteed goal line work. They seem to like Latavius Murray in the short yardage role.
Yeah, dumb.
It is dumb. But it does happen. It was a nice game for Dalvin Cook, though, and he's been solid lately because he's getting a lot of catches. 4, 3, 3, 8, and 5 catches in his last 5 games.
Oh, guess where he's from? I forgot about this.
Yeah, but the game's in Minnesota. Right?
Miami.
No, the game's in Minnesota. Yeah.
From Miami.
He's from Miami. Yeah, that's true.
He's given you double-digit fantasy points in 3 straight games.
All right, and Chris Carson, 22 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown. This team will not stop running. And did I hear right that Russell Wilson's 40-yard run was the longest run of the season by the Seahawks?
Yep.
That's amazing. Like, they don't pop any.
Last night, Rashad Penny had an 80-yard run that went 17 yards.
He's good. I'm excited about him next year.
He is. We talked about this on HQ last night that I think if he can somehow manage to figure out pass protection, he's going to kick Chris Carson off the team.
Dave, you wanted me to wait on something?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you said wait. No. Yeah, Tyler Lockett, I guess as good as you could expect in this spot. Chicago 15.
But you brought up something, Adam, though, about on our radio show Saturday. Without Doug Baldwin has been his worst games too, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you're right. Russell Wilson, and unfortunately without Doug Baldwin, I think he's had some pretty tough matchups.
It was Dallas, Chicago, and this game.
Yeah, there you go. But without Doug Baldwin, he has
struggled. I don't think you're benching him next week against the 49ers.
No. Chicago 15 and the Rams 6. Bears dominated time of possession, 36 minutes and 49 seconds. Are you concerned about Jared Goff now? It's two clunkers in a row, but he'll come back home to face the Eagles.
I love him this week. This is a player who played to what I thought would happen, which is just get totally crushed by pressure and turn the ball over. And no touchdowns was a surprise. Four interceptions was probably a little too many too, but
yeah.
He's got Philadelphia next week. And then after that, he's at Arizona. San Francisco in week 17, if you're playing that long. I think he'll be fine.
Fantasy owners could not have picked a better week to face Todd Gurley. I mean, you're just... Dave, did we talk about this on the air or off the air, your podcast league team, Dave?
I think I mentioned it.
Okay, yeah, I mean...
That Gurley, Thielen, Ertz, zero touchdowns combined, and I'm out.
Yeah.
This was also a great week to have Todd Gurley if you were on bye.
Yeah, there's the flip side of it, obviously, which is that.
Yeah, I know. If you're the Todd Gurley owner, I mean, that's just, he was so amazing in the fantasy playoffs last year that, you know, when you talk to somebody after the season, they said they won their league. You were like, oh, yeah, Todd Gurley. And, he lays an egg here. The whole team did. Anything from the Rams before we move to the Bears?
Philly at Arizona, San Francisco in week 17. Gurley will be a hero for you again. Just wasn't against Chicago.
So what is your take on Trubisky right now with Green Bay at home?
I kind of feel the same way. And this is another one that I'm going to have to really look at where I have these two guys ranked. But my initial thought is Trubisky and Cousins are both going to bounce back in a huge way.
Huge.
I had them both in my top five quarterbacks in my first set of rankings.
Wow. Yeah, no, I agree 100% on Trubisky.
I guess if I had a question about Trubisky, it's did this game make you think, I guess I have to go back to, well, we don't have to go back to last year. Did this game make you think that he might struggle in cold weather? Because it was cold, and it's probably going to be cold again.
No, the thing that made me nervous and will make me nervous this week was just decision-making and his throws.
His throws were terrible.
He had a bad game. He had three interceptions. He was off on plenty of his passes.
Not going to see the same pressure by any
stretch. Not quite, no. But this is a game where the Bears should be able to run the ball at will.
Yeah.
I also love Jordan Howard, but I like him.
Back on track after missing time with the children.
I don't know if he's got huge upside this week. I don't know if he's got top five type of upside.
I do.
Jordan Howard, speaking of running the ball, Jordan Howard had 19 carries for 101 yards. Tariq Cohen had 9 carries for 69 yards, 4 catches for 20 yards. So they both were solid.
Sure. Like for Howard, this was amazing.
If somebody dropped Allen Robinson this week, would you pick him up?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a good number three, maybe even a number two this week.
But if he were the worst player on your team, would you drop him for Dante Pettis or Curtis Samuel?
No.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Mixed opinions there. And after that game ended, I felt less bad about recommending Matt Lacoste over Trey Burton. Trey Burton was better, but he had 2 catches for 22 yards.
He's terrible.
It's bad. It's bad. Okay, waiver wire. For every position, we'll start with quarterback, break down some of the matchups, talk about who we're starting, who we're sitting. We'll get to that right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So we begin with one quarterback who's owned it. Well, actually two. I should have included one other guy. So they've been sort of hot waiver wire topics for a few weeks. Now they're owned in more than 80% of leagues. But Baker Mayfield coming off two straight bad fantasy games. And Jameis Winston playing, I don't know, maybe the best football of his career, but having to face Baltimore. If you had Mayfield and Winston, are you looking to the waiver wire for Allen, Jackson, Mullins, Carr? Or are you comfortable starting them?
I have that in one of my semifinals. Dak Prescott's available. That's the first guy I'm going to go look for. The second guy will be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, depending on how the starting situation shakes out.
You have
I'm sorry, hold on.
Back. You have Mayfield or Winston or what?
I have Winston.
Okay.
And the first guy I'm going to pick up, because he's available, is Dak Prescott. I love the matchup for him against the Colts. If he gets picked up because someone's trying to block me, because that'd be the only way that somebody would pick him up because everybody else has good quarterbacks, the next guy I will pick up will be either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, depending on what the news is the rest of this week.
Why are you so low, guys, unless the rankings aren't updated on the site, on Baker Mayfield?
I think Denver probably had, and I was talking to Pete Briscoe Drink about this yesterday, and he agreed. I think that Denver probably at home, still in the playoff race against a rookie quarterback, has one last hurrah left in them defensively. And, I mean, Mayfield's not been a surefire top 12 quarterback or anything.
I mean, right. I think he played pretty well last week. He was 18 of 22.
He played great, awesome.
But the numbers, they're not going to be problem. Able to run the ball that well against the Broncos, I don't think. And Nick Mullins just scored 23 fantasy points and 6 points per passing touchdown. They don't have Chris Harris. They don't have that other crappy cornerback.
The problem for me with Mayfield is there's several ways this game could go, and maybe only one of them that actually works out well for him in fantasy.
And he just played a great matchup at home and didn't have a big game.
Because if the Broncos just lay down and are terrible offensively, then he's going to throw it 22 times again.
Give me Josh Allen. Give me Lamar Jackson. Give me Jameis.
I agree with all those.
Give me Dak. Give me Mullins.
Yep.
All ahead.
Well, I'm not sure about Mullins.
Oh, boy. I don't know that I'd take Jameis over Mayfield.
I'm not playing. I'd play Mayfield over Jameis.
But the bottom line is I think you all have Mayfield out 20th or lower, which surprised me, but all righty. How about Aaron Rodgers? Should the Aaron Rodgers owners turn to Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, et cetera?
Yes.
I would play Dak and Jackson over Rodgers.
Jackson right now is the only one. I'm going to look at Dak again. I've got him kind of in this huge group of quarterbacks that I'm really nervous about where I have them ranked.
That does have shootout potential, though.
It does, yeah. I don't dislike Dak. It's just on the first run, yeah. I didn't get him in my top 12.
I am a little bit nervous about the Cowboys, other than Zeke and Cooper, because the Colts defensive coordinator was previously in Dallas, knows that offense pretty well. Usually that's a thing that helps the team that they're going up against.
It's a different offense, though.
I don't think it's a different offense.
Well, I mean,
still, it's the same scheme. Just harder to cover. Dak's been playing great the last couple of weeks, really, ever since they got Amari Cooper.
Yeah, but this game against the Eagles, gosh, I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's got maybe his third game, fourth game with multiple touchdown passes. He just doesn't throw that many touchdown passes. Whatever, that's something we can get into later in the week. All right, what is Mullins? You know, Nick Mullins is pretty interesting. He's had six games. He's been good in four of them. Is it 3 out of 5? I think it's 3 out of 5, sorry. But last two games, 26 fantasy points at Seattle, 23 against Denver, and here he goes against Seattle. Six of the last seven quarterbacks to face the Seahawks have thrown multiple touchdown passes and scored 20 to 26 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Kirk Cousins was the exception to that. So it's probably a situation where you don't have to get Nick Mullins, and it's two quarterback league, that's another story.
Worst games have come against two of the easiest opponents that he faced.
No, just one, right? Just the Bucks.
Well, the Giants at the time were struggling.
Yeah, Giants are weird. They're like 10th against quarterbacks this year. That makes no sense to me. Derek Carr, though, at Cincinnati, best matchup you can have. If you look at the Bengals, they give up the most points to quarterbacks. they have faced great quarterbacks almost all year. And I would say they really haven't been bad against any bad fantasy quarterbacks.
This is another one of those games where you could sell me on this game going one. Like this, it's the Bengals are awful, but they're favored. I wouldn't be that surprised if they won. They don't ever underestimate Marvin Lewis' ability to get to 8-8.
How about Derek Carr? It's 19, 11, 29, and 22 fantasy points in his last four.
His last two have been great.
22 plus, last two.
I'd play him over Winston.
All right, just real. We should probably spend more time on Allen and Jackson. So you guys just want to tell me what you expect from Josh Allen against Detroit. Oh, here's a fun stat. Tell me if this matters to you. Detroit allows, by far, the fewest rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks, despite having faced Prescott, Trubisky, Aaron Rodgers, whatever, Wilson, and Newton. And they gave up almost no rushing yards to these guys. They gave up like five per game. Does that matter when you look at Josh Allen? And if you want to talk about Allen versus Lamar Jackson, please have at it.
I mean, he's a different dude than some of those other guys, though.
Right now, he's the best, but they have to face Cam and Wilson and Trubisky. And
a problem that I have with Josh Allen's rushing production and working from a projection basis is he's averaging basically 10 yards per carry the last couple of weeks, and I have a hard time expecting anybody to do that, like even Cam at his highest. So I think I'm looking more like at 50 yards rushing as opposed to the 100 he's given me the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And if he gives you 50 rushing yards with the way he's been throwing the ball, he's terrible.
So this is according to Pro Football Focus. I guess it's for the season. Josh Allen has 490 rushing yards.
Most on the team.
His design runs 89 yards, and his scrambles 401. So play calls, he's only getting 89 runs.
It's all him.
Right.
Lamar Jackson has 469 rushing yards. Design runs are 418 yards, and scrambles are 51.
Right.
So you can't plan for Josh Allen to run.
Right.
That's interesting.
But that's what he does.
He keeps doing
pressure
it.
On him.
It's not that much different than the Russell Wilson touchdown run earlier this year.
Or as soon as you see him, or as soon as he sees that the defensive backs have their backs turned to him, he's out of there. And he's getting huge runs. He's had at least a 28-yard rush in three straight games.
And I don't think LaShawn McCoy is going to make a difference. Because it's not like McCoy's been making or breaking this offense.
So answer me this. Which quarterbacks that you've been relying on all year would you be, if not sitting, at least picking up Allen or Jackson just to have the option?
I mean, Rodgers makes me nervous this week.
Rodgers is probably number two on that list for me.
I'd play those guys over Winston.
How about Drew Brees?
No.
I'm going with Brees.
I've got Lamar ahead of Brees.
If Lamar Jackson's starting, I'd play him over Brees.
Okay.
That's fine.
And you don't have any interest in Marcus Mariota?
I have no interest in Marcus Mariota. He didn't make my top 24.
Why?
Minimal.
Well, how come?
I think that most likely this is a game where he throws it 23 or 24 times again.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And, all right, I think we should, Josh Johnson in a two quarterback league. Would you be interested in Josh Johnson at Jacksonville?
I'm desperate.
I'd rather start Cody Kessler.
Would you really? I'll take Johnson over Kessler.
I would start Driscoll over him.
I would start Driscoll
definitely
over
Driscoll
him too.
All right, let's go to the running backs. So the first thing I want to do is talk about last week's waiver wire guys and how interested you are in starting them right now. Jeff Wilson, Jalen Samuels, Justin Jackson.
Those guys are all obvious starts right now.
Are they? Okay, they look good to you?
They've extended beyond like possible starters, sleepers. They're obvious.
They're all three dependent on three running backs that we don't have a definitive status on yet. But if we're assuming that Breida, Connor, Gordon, and Eckler are all out, then they're all three top 15 running backs for me.
So, Stephen Ridley, how about him?
No, thank you.
No.
No. Okay.
So now we have to talk about the guys who are owned in more than 65% of leagues. And there are four names here. Derrick Henry. Remember him? Peyton Barber. Derrick Henry, Peyton Barber at Baltimore. It's probably easy to say no to that one. Doug Martin, though, at Cincinnati, which allows the most fantasy points to running backs. A running back has scored at least one touchdown against the Bengals in eight straight games. And Frank Gore at Minnesota. Again, probably get away from that. So can we eliminate Barber and Gore and say if you're in the fantasy playoffs, you probably don't want to be relying on them?
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then let's talk about Derrick Henry and Doug Martin, who are both 72% owned, and how you're feeling about them this week.
I feel good about Doug Martin.
Great about Doug Martin.
Great matchup. He's had at least 15 carries each of his last two games. Does get used a little bit in the passing game.
You undersold the Bengals' run defense. In the last 8 weeks...
How could I have said that? I said they gave up the most fantasy points.
No, it's amazing. Yeah. In the last 8 weeks, they've allowed 9 running backs to score 14 non-PPR fantasy points. They've allowed 6 running backs in 8 games, 6 running backs to score 20 non-PPR fantasy points. They have given up a good season worth of running back production in half a season. Over 1,100 rush total yards and like 14 touchdowns.
And there have been 7 running backs with 15 or more carries against the Bengals. And as Dave said, Martin's had that in 2 straight games, 15 or more carries. All 7 of the running backs who have had that against the Bengals have scored 14 or more fantasy points.
Martin is a start for me in either format. Henry's just barely in my top 24 in non-PPR and more of a flex in PPR.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Henry's a must-start guy this week.
Yeah, we know the deal with Henry, right? I mean, we could take away, Jamie, what Adrian Peterson just did because it's the Redskins. This is a great matchup for Henry.
It should be.
Yeah. So who would you guys rather have, Henry or Martin? I know Heath says Martin. Dave, Jamie?
I mean, the track record's better for Martin. Again, you know, he's extended now beyond the sleeper conversation, beyond the questionable conversation. It's now the track record is there, the matchup is there, and you should feel comfortable starting him this week.
I think a fun group is Martin, Carson, Sony Michel, and Derrick Henry.
I'd throw Ingram in there, too.
How many running backs that aren't obvious must-start guys, like elite guys, have a better chance to score than Derrick Henry? Like, that guy is scoring this week, right?
And he's, you know, it's funny because obviously last week's game was monstrous, but he had come into that game scoring, and I think it's 4 of his last 6 prior to that. Now it's 5 of his last 7. So he's been finding the end zone. It's just the yards have been hard to come by.
Yeah.
Touches have been hard to come by. He's been getting like 12 carries or less in all but
I mean, and look, he's,
2 games.
He's going to be a non-factor in the passing game, so take that into account with PPR. If he does... I think we talked about this, Adam. The game you look at is the 2 games prior for the Giants before week 14. It was Jordan Howard with 76 rushing yards and Josh Adams with 84. I think that's where Derrick Henry will be if he has a good game.
Right, Adams scored, right?
Yeah, I think you get a touchdown.
And Akeem Ayers stole the touchdown from Jordan Howard. All right, so then after that, tell me how excited you are about Elijah McGuire this week against the Texans. Which allow the 8th fewest fantasy points to running backs, 3.3 yards per carry to running backs. It's not a good matchup for McGuire, but we want to see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it.
He is a high upside flex because he's going to get, if Crowell is out, the majority of the work like you saw last week. And I think he gets you around 8 or 9 non-PPR points with 12 to 14 PPR points.
I would start Elijah McGuire over Adrian Peterson, over Marlon Mack, over Tevin Coleman.
Great.
Over Kenyon Drake.
I'd start him over Josh Adams, too.
Over Josh Howard. Jordan Howard.
And Josh Howard. Mm.
And Josh Howard, for sure. He's not getting any points.
Would you be looking, if you own Gus Edwards and you saw him lose that touchdown last week, would you be looking to pick up McGuire, Ito Smith, Zach Zenner, somebody like that?
Be looking to pick up Kenneth Dixon.
I mean, Gus Edwards still getting a ton of work compared to Dixon.
Sure, but... Here we are all over again with where Edwards was a couple of weeks ago.
I would not start any of those guys over Gus Edwards this week in PPR, and certainly not in non-PPR. Doug Martin's the only guy in PPR I would start over Edwards.
Yeah, I'd start a lot of those guys over Edwards because I think you're going to see a little bit more of Dixon. But
you got to
make that choice. He's still going to get probably 16 to 18 carries. He's just not going to be a factor in the passing game, and if he doesn't score, you've seen what the numbers could be.
Yeah, that is, just to say it, that is a good matchup, though.
I don't really see much of a difference coming off the games that they just had between Edwards and Henry.
That's a good point. All right, so then we've got Zach Zenner at Buffalo, Kenneth Dixon against Tampa Bay, Damian Williams against the Chargers, who have been very good against pass-catching running backs this year, Marcus Murphy could have a lot of work for Buffalo against Detroit. And even though they're on a much better on a per carry basis, Detroit is, since Damon Harrison has joined them, they have allowed double-digit fantasy points in non-PPR to 6 running backs, 13 or more fantasy points in PPR to 7 running backs in 7 games with snacks. And then there's Darren Sproles, who has scored a touchdown in 2 straight. I don't anticipate these guys are going to be super high in the most added list, but I think Marcus Murphy, if I want to spend a little time on him, guys, because how many touches do you think he could get against the Lions? And second question, we don't know that Ivory and McCoy are out. Is Ivory himself worth adding?
Ivory's 10% owned. If you are in a deeper league and you know you're stuck, he's not a bad guy to take a flyer on if you miss on Murphy. The one thing to look at with the Buffalo situation, and again, you got to factor in Isaiah McKenzie here. Obviously, none of these guys are LeSean McCoy, but for what it's worth, Buffalo's given McCoy at least 18 total touches in 3 games in a row, and so that's prior to last week. And so if it's just Murphy by himself, then he's probably looking at around 15 touches.
Yeah, I've got him projected for 16 touches right now.
So that just would stay in line with about what Buffalo has been doing. Again, McKenzie had 4 carries last week. He had the red zone touchdown. It wasn't a traditional running back play. At least I don't think so. But it's going to be a little bit of a factor there. I wouldn't be surprised if they sign somebody if both guys are out, you know, just for depth. So that's something to keep an eye on. If they do that, then you probably assume that McCoy and Ivy aren't going to play. At this point, why would they play McCoy? If he's part of their plans next year as they refuse to trade him, you know, what are you doing to a 30-year-old running back at this point in the season with nothing to play for?
Anything else you want to say about running backs, guys?
I'll just go back to Damian Williams. At this point, again, we expect Spencer Ware to play, but you should be adding Williams, because if Ware doesn't play this week because of a short week, then he's in line for a good starting opportunity. And if Ware goes down at any point in the next couple of weeks, he's the next guy up. It's very clear they're going to use him. He had 4 catches in the game. And so I think that's an option in deep, deep, deep PPR leagues, too. It looks like he's going to be involved in the passing game when they're facing a heavy pass rush, and that's what the Chargers have. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's involved a little bit more this week. But I love Spencer Ware this week. I think you've seen last week in particular as well. Short week, home team, running back that's going to be involved in all facets of the game. Ware's going to have a big game Thursday if he's healthy.
Let's move on to wide receivers for Fantasy Week 15. Just one guy that I want to talk about that's owned in more than 65% of leagues, and that's Adam Humphries. He's 75% owned, and you know, they've had great matchups recently. This is the end of that. At Baltimore, 6 fewest fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. If you have Adam Humphries, are you holding him, starting him, considering dropping him? What do you do with Humphries, who should have scored a touchdown? He came about half a yard away from a touchdown last week.
At best, I'm holding him.
Yeah, I don't mind him this week.
I think I'm starting him.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think he's a low-end starter.
All right.
I think it's going to be ball out quick for Jameis, and you know, you don't think he's going to get the ball down the field to his guys. So this is going to be, you know, Humphries middle of the field again.
Okay. So the priorities, Dante Pettis, who just had 5 catches, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns against Seattle. And Seattle's just, they've been really bad against wide receivers before last night. Chris Conley against the Chargers. Curtis Samuel. Is that, I mean, you got a big list here of guys, Jamie. Westbrook, Taywan Taylor, Deshaun Hamilton. But Pettis, Conley, Samuel, is that kind of the big three? And then there's everyone else.
Yeah, and Conley is, you know, I don't know how many people are going to feel comfortable starting him. I think he's a number 3 receiver in this matchup because I do think they're going to, you know, have success throwing the ball. But Deshaun Hamilton is very interesting. Tim Patrick's very interesting. You know, both guys had 7 catches, 9-plus targets for each of them. Patrick had 10. So they're involved. I mean, you look at Taywan Taylor the last 2 weeks, and he's played very well. You know, certainly 12, I think it's 11-plus PPR points in the 2 games back from his injury.
Yep.
So he's somebody that can help you in a pinch. And then Isaiah McKenzie, you know, again, if he's getting those carries, if he's, let's just say he gets, what would you project him for?
5 carries.
Okay, so he had 4 last week. I'd say probably closer to 6 to 8 if, in fact, he's going to be the second guy through there, plus 4 catches. I mean, he can get you 70 or 80 total yards.
Yep.
Yeah, Isaiah McKenzie is unowned. There are some other names we'll throw out, including Randall Cobb, but there's one guy I wanted to talk about that I forgot about, and I could see him, he's only 67% owned. I could see him getting dropped after 2 duds in a row. Josh Reynolds. Facing the Eagles, do you want to be patient with Josh Reynolds? What do you think?
You can be patient with him. I don't know if you're going to have the confidence to start him. He really seems like a touchdown needy number 3 type of receiver.
Yeah, I don't mind him this week though. I think it's a good bounce back spot for all the Rams receivers.
Right. like, you guys all have Goff very high, so there could be some residual Josh Reynolds action there. To talk more about Pettis, Conley, and Samuel, how much do you like Pettis and Samuel this week?
Love Pettis this week. I mean, Samuel's been very consistent for four games in a row, but the last two, you got to be impressed. Over 80 yards receiving, targets have been up. He's been better than DJ Moore. You know, as much as we keep saying DJ Moore, it's been Samuel. It's been the guy. Because, like Dave said, Cam is not throwing the ball down the field. I think both those guys are worth starting this week.
I've got them both as borderline number two receivers.
You have them ahead of, say, Tyler Boyd?
Yes.
I do not.
Okay. So D.D. Westbrook gets Washington. Washington has allowed 8 touchdown catches to wide receivers in their last 4 games. Westbrook's coming off a really good game, but you know, you know how it is. It's up and
down.
It's
a mess.
Yeah. Kenny Stills, Heath, you want to make the case?
He has 5 touchdowns in 8 games with Ryan Tannehill this year. He's averaged about 55 yards per game in those. And he was the squeaky wheel. They threw it to him a bunch more, and he was really good. And there it is.
He's going to get Rhodes, though.
He's going to be on the Rhodes this week because they're on the road, and he's Xavier Rhodes.
I said in the column, any other week he'd be a star. This week is just tough to trust him.
And unfortunately, he's got Jacksonville the following week. So tough end of the schedule for for Kenny Stills. Other names on the list include John Ross, who will have 1 or 2 catches for about 10 yards and a touchdown.
He scored in all 4 games AJ Green has missed. It's crazy.
Robbie Anderson, Quincy Anunn was banged up, and Anderson had 4 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown, and he gets Houston. Tim Patrick, 7 catches for 85 yards for Denver, and he'll have Cleveland this week. Randall Cobb caught a touchdown, and he'll face the Bears without their slot cornerback. And then Robert Foster. Robert Foster's had 94 or more yards in 3 of his last 4 games, and he gets the awful, awful Lions secondary. And look, I mean, just speaking honestly, I'm not in any leagues where I'm picking up any of these guys. I don't know if you guys are, but they're interesting names. Is there anybody that I said that between Ross, Robbie Anderson, Tim Patrick, Randall Cobb, and Robert Foster that you like the most?
Probably Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, he's had 4 catches each of the last 2 games, 7 targets each of the last 2 games. And with a Nunwa out, that certainly is a boost.
What about Jordy Nelson, guys? 46%.
Number 4 receiver.
Safer in PPR.
And any interest in going back to Zay Jones? He had 9 targets last week, just didn't have the production.
It's a good matchup for him, better than last week was.
Low end number 3.
Yeah, 9 targets last week. Still led the team in targets, but he has a problem with drops.
Okay, that's Zay
Jones. Big problem for Josh Allen, too. The whole receiving corps, they just drop everything.
I'm not even going to read the rest of the names on this list. Although I feel obligated to read Jamison Crowder's name. If Josh Doxson's out and Jordan Reed's out.
Think he'll get another long touchdown?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you do? Okay.
No, but he had 7 targets. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
I said his name.
I don't want to buy into Washington's offense.
I said his name. I feel good about that. Tight ends. So let me play a game called Will You Start? I only have one guy on here, unfortunately. David Njoku at Denver. Another great matchup for Njoku. I'm not sure it's a great matchup, but it might be. Another interesting matchup for Njoku. He's been so bad the last few games. Would you start Njoku?
I have him 11th.
I would,
PPR.
Yes.
I think I have him around 14 or 15.
So technically, yeah, I'd start him.
If you saw any of these 3 guys on your waiver wire, would you pick them up? Cameron Brate at Baltimore, Evan Engram against Tennessee, Chris Herndon against Houston.
Brate for sure, and probably Engram too.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Engram too. Yeah.
I would start Ian Thomas. I would take him as well.
I would start Brate and Engram over the crap burger.
And Ingram's only owned in 71% of leagues, but I don't. Does it depend on Beckham?
Yes,
it does. Right? Yeah, he's
got
to be out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Herndon's got a really good matchup. Houston, as I recall, I didn't check this morning, but as I recall, they're just terrible against tight ends. Herndon had a bad game, no question, but maybe he gets back to it. It's tight end. So Ian Thomas, where do you have Ian Thomas ranked?
10,
right around there.
13.
Let's look at what he's done the last 2 weeks with Olsen getting injured 2 weeks ago. 5 catches for 46 yards on 5 targets at Tampa Bay. 9 catches for 77 yards on 11 targets at Cleveland. Dave talked about, you know, how Cam's not throwing the ball downfield. The Saints have been great against tight ends, but they allowed 2 catches to Cameron Brate in the end zone last week. And then Anthony Firkser, his last 4 games, 3 or 4 targets, 3 or 4 catches. And Jamie laid it down earlier in the show. Jonnu Smith and Firkser have been pretty involved, and Smith's going to be out. Yeah, is it a good matchup? I would call it maybe a neutral matchup against the Giants, but like I said, no Landon Collins, right? We just don't know.
Mm-hmm. And they just gave up, what, 4 for 40 to Vernon Davis after Reed got hurt?
4 for 31.
4 for 31?
Yeah. And Vernon Davis himself is at Jacksonville, and Jacksonville has shown to be a little leaky against tight ends. Thoughts on Vernon Davis?
Davis, last year without Reed, he played 10 games without Reed. He had 8-plus PPR points in 6 of those with 3 touchdowns.
He's at the back end of the streamers for me, but he is ahead of the crap burger. And I did look up the Broncos against tight ends because I thought this might be the case.
I know what it is, yeah.
They've given up 977 yards and 6 touchdowns to tight ends this year, 367 yards and 3 touchdowns to Travis Kelce and George Kittle.
Yeah, but also Will Disley and Antonio Gates had big games against them, but it's really those four. Actually, it's 5 because it was Kelce twice, Disley, Gates, and Kittle. And honestly, it just doesn't matter with Njoku. He had the Panthers last week. The Panthers and the Bengals were his last 2 matchups, and he just did nothing. No, I'm wrong. He scored against
the Bengals. No, he's good against the Bengals.
It was Houston. That's what it was. It was Houston and Carolina the last 2 weeks. Good matchups for Njoku, and he did nothing. Ryan Griffin and Blake Jarwin, Jamie, did you just feel like obligated to put them on?
They had a lot of targets last week.
They did, but you're not picking them up, are you?
I mean, look, there are people that are stuck in deeper leagues, Adam. We don't all play in 8-team leagues like you.
Okay, I have 0 8-team leagues, thank you. And I'm just asking, are Ryan Griffin and Blake Jarwin in your top 16 this week?
Top 16?
Yeah.
No.
No, but they're in my top 20.
Okay. CJ Uzama, any interest in him?
Nope.
PPR, low end guy.
Yeah.
You have to miss on a lot of the guys that we've already talked about.
He's a top 20 guy for me.
How about a Rams tight end against the Eagles?
No.
No.
I'd pick Everett if I had to pick one of the two.
How about Gates against the Chiefs?
No.
With a floor of 0, I'd rather have Uzama.
And this is probably the game Eric Berry returns.
It's so much fun. Because last week, the first week of the playoffs, the Thursday night game, for the most part, nobody was starting the Jags and the Titans. And then Derrick Henry had the huge game, but it didn't really matter because most people had him on their bench. This week, the semifinals and this Chiefs and Chargers games, there's like 10 players that everybody's going to be starting. It's either going to start off so great for you or just absolutely awful.
And while you're there, Anthony Lynn last night on Melvin Gordon, he said he's getting better. I can tell you that. He's getting a lot better, but we probably won't have a full-speed practice this week. So he's going to do some things on the side, and we'll see how it goes. Doesn't that sound like he's going to play?
Okay, great. DST streamers. And are these teams starters for you? I think I already did this. We already did this. Like, you're starting Jacksonville against Washington?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee at the Giants?
Yep.
Baltimore against Tampa Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Minnesota against Miami?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo against Detroit?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Bears against Green Bay?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just not so sure about the Titans. That's the only one that gives me some pause.
Well, I wonder why.
Changes if Beckham plays.
Look at the last five defenses against the Giants. They're running the ball so much that they're not really turning the ball over all that much, and they're not giving up as many sacks. It's just, I mean, where do you guys have – Heath, you got him 5th. Jamie 9th, and 13th for Dave for the Titans. And I'm just – because the Redskins are out there, the Lions, the Falcons, you know, stuff matters.
You don't have to start the Titans. And again, if Beckham plays, it changes things.
And now, you want to make fun of me about the Giants, Heath? How about this? How do you feel about Aldrick Rosas as a kicking streamer?
No, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's only missed 1 field goal and 1 extra point this year, and he's had 5 big games in a row.
Well, Adam, let me ask you this. You say they're running
such
the ball
a homer.
So, you say they're running the ball so well. What happens if Mariota gets off to a good start and they're chasing points?
They'll throw the ball.
Because you like Mariota.
Then you like the Titans defense?
I didn't say I like Mariota. I mean, I like it more than you guys do. Yeah, I like the Titans defense. I don't love the Titans defense. Let's find out who the best kicker is over the last 3 weeks, shall we? Oh, let's find out who the best kicker is. Oh, wait, no, those are free agents, not total. Aldrick Rosas is the number 7 kicker in fantasy this year. Giants are the best.
Oh, God.
We're out of here, ladies
and
gentlemen.
There's a column on SNY Network on their website that says that lays out the ways the Giants can still win the wild card. Do you know how it would go?
No, gotta.
It would go. Gotta go by.
Does that column really exist?
It does. Yes.
Well, a more interesting one is on CBSSports.com. The ways the Browns could win to get in the playoffs.
I am cheering for that.
Well, you need the Steelers to lose out. If the Steelers lose out and the Browns win out, there's a good chance it happens. There's some other stuff.
The Steelers could lose their next two games very easily.
Right. Right. So, you know, that has to happen. Okay, everybody.
By the way, if you're looking for a fun interview, we had Juju Smith-Schuster on CBS Sports HQ yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And Nick Costas had a fun interview with him if you want to find that on our site.
Did Nick ask him if he was better than Antonio Brown?
He did ask him just because I was waiting. My segment was after it, so I listened to the interview. He asked him, he told him, he said, you know, you're having a better year than Antonio Brown. So he did say that to him directly and said, what's been the difference for your season?
Been through it to me more?
They also talked about, he was promoting Doritos. So they also talked about their common bond for Doritos, if you're interested.
I do love Doritos, but nothing destroys your breath like Cool Ranch Doritos. Breath destroyer.
You must eat that a lot then.
Hey, come on. We're on Skype. You wouldn't know. I'm out of here, everybody. They're out of here. We're out of here. We'll talk to you on Wednesday with a super fun show. Bye.